In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One afternoon, when I was the chaplain at an Episcopal school in Amarillo, I was supervising a woman who was presenting the story of the Nativity to a class of third graders. She told the story in her own words, embellishing a bit here and there, which seemed okay, until she said, "Then the baby Jesus was born, part human, part divine." I had a sudden flashback to my seminary class on heresies. But I didn't think third graders needed to learn about monophysitism, or however you pronounce it. So before she said another word, I simply said, "Fully human and fully divine." Jesus was fully human, and nowhere is that more evident than here in the story of the temptation. In the desert, after fasting for 40 days, Jesus hears the voice of the accuser in his head. We all know that voice. It's the voice of the one who is always looking to capitalize on the unmet needs of human beings. Father Thomas Keating, the world-renowned Trappist who wrote and taught about contemplative prayer, said we are born into this world with three basic needs: the need for security and survival, power and control, love and acceptance. Hopefully, all those needs are adequately met in childhood and we develop into reasonably well-adjusted adults. But if in childhood circumstances were such that we felt insecure, powerless, or unloved, then those unmet needs can compel us later in life to try to get those needs met in often confused and inappropriate ways. As I said, Jesus' human nature is revealed in the temptations he faced. His divine nature is revealed in his response. The first temptation Jesus faces is in response to the most basic human need, survival. He is hungry. He hears the evil one's voice inside his head suggesting he turned these stones into bread. But Jesus knows survival is more than just physical. Humans may survive on bread, but they live by the word of God. The second temptation arises as Jesus wrestles with questions of vocation. How am I to live my life? What will it take for me to fulfill God's will on earth? The evil one offers Jesus a shortcut to power. The power is here for the taking. It's yours, Jesus. Help yourself. The only requirement is you have to worship me to get it. Jesus responds, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Jesus knows that true empowerment comes from true worship. At the third and last temptation, we hear Jesus as he wrestles with his identity. What does it mean to be God's son? At baptism, Jesus heard God's voice say, "This is my beloved son. With him, I am well pleased." The accusing voice says, "Are the Son of God." The temptation is to doubt God's love. And Jesus responds by essentially saying, "Don't even go there." Richard Foster writes in his book on the spiritual disciplines that fasting, more than any other spiritual discipline, reveals what controls us. Jesus was not controlled by his human needs, nor by the deceptions of the evil one, but by his relationship with God. His is a posture of surrender to the word and the will of God. As we begin the season of Lent, I invite you to reflect on your own posture toward your unmet needs. You may not be hungry, but perhaps you worry about your safety and security. How does God's word speak into your concerns? What about issues of power and control? Is there a situation you need to turn over to God instead of trying to fix yourself? Last week, I did a funeral for a very young man who died of the disease of alcoholism. And his story brought home to me once again the wisdom of the first step of Alcoholics Anonymous. I admitted I was powerless over alcohol. What or who do you need to admit you are powerless over? And can you turn that person or that situation over to God? Jesus suggests worship, worship of God, as the antidote to temptations to power. And it strikes me that the act of worship rebalances our universe. When we're lost in wonder, love, and praise, we remember how small we are and how great God is. In other words, we remember who's really in control. Finally, what if our struggle is to believe that we are fully loved and accepted by God? I once heard a woman describe her early childhood. When she was a toddler, her mother died, and her father put her in an orphanage where she endured physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. This was a child whose need for love was bottomless. One day, some missionaries came to the orphanage to talk about Jesus. As they were leaving, one of them, a teenage girl, turned around and said to the orphans, "Just remember this, no matter what, Jesus loves you." That simple statement changed the course of that orphan's life because she chose to believe what she was told. You are loved and accepted by God, no matter what. Don't be tempted to believe otherwise. Security and safety, power and control, love and acceptance. Jesus, because he was fully human, needed all of those things. And because he was fully divine, he was able to trust God for all he needed. It's stating the obvious to say we humans are not fully divine, but I do believe that human beings become like what they worship. So let us lose ourselves for the rest of our time here this morning in wonder, love, and praise for Jesus, our fully human and fully divine Savior, Lord, and friend. Amen.